Steve Zahn is the general manager of Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy, in beautiful Bismarck, North Dakota, and also the general manager of Pucklich Chevy Buick GMC, right there in beautiful Valley City, North Dakota. Steve Zahn, general manager of Pucklich, thank you for joining us, sir. We appreciate that.
Good morning, Scott.
Got him loud and clear there. Also, with us today, Vince Webker. Vince is sitting in my chair at our Flag Family Studios, just because somebody has to once in a while. Vince is the owner of Hot Springs Paws there in Bismarck. They are in Grand Forks, and they are in West Fargo as well. The proprietor of Hot Springs Paws and Pool Tables, too. Hello, Vince, and welcome to our little Supply Chain Talk Radio Town Hall here.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
And Ashley Freeborn is here. Ashley is the owner of Aspire Optical, and the other commercial this hour is the fact that I'm wearing Maui Jims. And Ashley, thank you. Welcome. Glad you're here. Let's just talk about these Maui Jims. When I ordered them from you not long ago, where did you get them from? And tell me a little bit about the supply chain business overall in optical.
Sure. So the optical world, I think we see these issues in the supply chain. I think we can all agree it's largely COVID related, or that's where the conversation started. And so last year, when Italy kind of started to go into lockdown and their, you saw these police blockades on the road, that's what kind of tipped me off. A lot of the major factories in the optical world are in northern Italy. And so you could kind of see this issue coming with supply and manufacturing. So with Maui Jim, however, specifically, they built a factory in Peoria, Illinois. I mean, the company was founded in Maui, but Peoria, Illinois is their major manufacturing facility in the United States. And they truly are one of the fastest they have one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. So I think I'm sure part of our conversation will lead to the fact that having things made here is generally good for us and good for our consumers and the service that we can provide them. And so those Maui Jims, Scott, when you ordered them, we actually had them in store 2 days later to be able to dispense to you. And that's very abnormal in our industry, but they're just so good. And the facility that they have is state-of-the-art that we're able to supply it to you very quickly.
Therein lies the beauty of American made, because you have more of that flexibility. Now, that's the fact. Steve's on. I'm going to go to Steve next from Pucklich. You can't get a much more iconic American made brand than that. But how much the Trek Boss, still brought for 2020, comes from somewhere else? How many microchips, for instance, are in the average vehicle that comes from somewhere else? Challenges from the automaker standpoint, Steve?
Well, I'm sorry, Scott, you're cutting out, so I only got part of what you said, but, obviously in our world, it takes a tremendous amount of parts to put together a vehicle and get it shipped and all the different components. And our supply issues really started about a year and a half ago with the strike that GM went through, and then, of course, COVID hit. We're probably in the most supply issues we've been in since this started right now. Parts are hard to get for our consumers for repairs. Parts are hard to get to build vehicles. Of course, the latest thing that everybody knows about those were in the industry and the world is, we can't get microchips to build anything. Everything is so dependent on microchips these days and processors. And, we have Chevrolet right now has about, I believe, just short of 40,000 vehicles that are built waiting for microprocessors so they can ship them. So that just continues to be a building thing that we normally stock 250 to 300 vehicles in the ground, new ones, and right now, our Bismarck store has about 10, and our Valley City store has about 3. So we just have to continue to find ways to be creative to keep our customers going and to keep our sales going, and at the same time, be able to service and repair the motoring public through all of this challenge.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, to no pun intended, to what you just described there. But do me a favor, so walk me through. Again, you mentioned the strike, so that was an issue and a disruption even pre-COVID. Then you had COVID, and I assume plants shut down, so then there's a lag. And now I've seen these pictures of a sea of vehicles all ready to go, but for the microchips. So let's specifically deal with the microchip situation. How is GM or other auto manufacturers dealing with that situation?
Well, I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, General Motors is at least in certain models and certain plants, continue to build trucks with, and they put dummy chips in them, and then they just put them on big lots, as you mentioned. You see a sea of vehicles parked in lots all over the place. So what they're doing then is they label those with MP status for microprocessor, and they sit and wait. Now, we just got notification last Tuesday or Wednesday that they're starting to now retrofit all those vehicles, and they'll start shipping them as early as this week. And but again, when you're 40,000 units behind, that chain is going to take a good 10 to 12 weeks to catch up. So we hear rumors GM and Ford have gone together to buy a couple of plants to potentially build their own microprocessors going forward. We haven't seen many details on that. So I think, as you know, if we're ever found out just how important the more we can build at home and the better, this is it. But at the same time, it is a global industry and a global time we live in. So they continue to do their best to keep vehicles, but, you know, sales have been strong as well. And that adds to the change or the shortage is that, you know, sales are strong and we're already behind. And then, of course, then we can't get microprocessors. So it's going to be we believe about a year before we're probably anywhere near normal inventory levels again, if we can even get there by then.
And again, the consumer's a little spoiled. Because
we're used to saying, go to the car lot. Hey, Steve, what do you got? I want to pick one out. And now it's a little bit different. So I want to explore this a little bit too. Vince Webker, get you in here and talk about hot tubs, saunas, and you know, all the products that you sell at Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables too. Vince is my neighbor, as our listeners know, and he and I talk a lot about this. And I was amazed early on how he was saying, guess what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. And had product through much of COVID, but not without some foresight and digging into that a little bit. So more of this conversation on the supply chain. Talk Radio Town, all your questions or comments, welcome. The consumer response to all this. Right now we're getting under the hood about why this is happening, what exactly is going on. We have three world-class entrepreneurs here. Steve Zahn, who's the general manager of Pucklich, Ashley Freeborn and Vince Webker, both owners, Aspire Optical, in the case of Ashley, and I'm wearing today. Just for the sake of the Facebook Live audience, my Maui Jim's here. I borrowed the look from JFK. Actually, whenever I go in and pick out a pair of glasses from Ashley, he gives me like four or five samples to choose from. Helps me pick those out, and then I take them home, and then I let the real fashionistas in my family decide, because I'm no good at that. I would like, you know, I'd be still wearing like the, you know, the what's the hockey movie, Vince? The you know, the movie where the guy, the handsome brother,
Slapshot.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's the movie I've watched approximately 1,000 times. I'd still be wearing those, but for Ashley and his fashion sense and the ladies at home, so they helped me on these. So Vince, talk about, as Steven and Ashley did, kind of your world as it pertains to COVID forward and what you saw coming. What is still happening today?
Yeah, like I said, back last March, you could see it coming, and, you know, all of our employees were kind of down in the dumps a little bit. And like, I remember 9/11 after that happened, you know, everybody stayed home and the demand for our products went up. And that's exactly what happened, you know, during the COVID shutdown. But at the same time, demand went up all across the nation. The factory was shut down, you know, based in California, for months. So by the time they opened back up, we had a pipeline full, and the demand is still there, which is great. You know, it's just a new norm. You order it now and you're probably going to get it in 2 or 3 months. And that's on the hot tubs. The other products, you know, saw this coming, ordered a bunch of swimming pools, saunas. So we were ahead of the game on that one, and we're pretty inventory rich when it comes to those products. So we've been very fortunate.
You can leave your comments on our Facebook feed if you like, or you can call us 701-258-0550, or again, the Buffalo Hotline from Oasis Petroleum at 855-200-1776. Texter says, that is why you don't buy all your essential products from other countries. It's called national security. Steve, I'm going to go back to you for a minute. You mentioned, I don't know if this is public or a rumor or what, but there was talk of Ford and Chevy going together and standing up some plants that have been idle or empty or whatever. I don't know what they made before. and actually manufacture microchips. Do you think the auto industry has had a wake-up call on how much they're dependent on China for making American-made vehicles?
I don't know that I'm really qualified to answer that question, but I think that I would hope that everybody, you know, throughout this pandemic and throughout this whole very abnormal time, is reviewing all that stuff and taking a look at what is the best way to keep, you know, not really America turning, but as important as that is, but just keep their own businesses turning. And obviously, we're seeing issues in production and in shipping and you name it. So it's something that I think is certainly worthy of looking at. But then again, as I said, that's not my call on their end.
You're the customer, too, in this case for Chevy and GM products. So you got to rely on them to be able to do that. But you end up with, obviously, the challenge of talking to the consumer. So talk about, besides microchips, which is an obvious one, and we've learned our lesson about how many of each vehicle is made up of those microchips, talk about other things. I've heard auto parts, just, you know, parts to replace vehicles, and the challenges there. Newer vehicles, they're not sitting in a salvage yard somewhere. So what kind of disruption has there been on the auto parts side, Steve?
Just as I said earlier, it's probably the biggest it's been right now than it was even last year during the height of COVID. Parts can be anywhere from a couple weeks delay to 3-4 month delay. We just had a brand new Blazer, about a year old, I guess it was now, but you know, accident, waiting for a fender for going on 10 weeks. And again, that fender comes from an outside supplier. You know, in addition to challenges of manufacturing, you know, even at GM, for instance, or Ford or any major manufacturers, it's all the suppliers that they supply, that they rely on to build their trucks and cars and hot tubs or whatever you're building. There's a lot of components that go into them, and a lot of them suppliers were shut down for COVID and or may not able to produce at full capacity. So it's just a trickle-down effect has been amazing on this thing. Now, the latest thing we hear, and again, it's a lot of just that we hear it. You can't find enough trucks to truck anything, to ship anything. So that affects everything. And I think that in our world, you chip away a part here, a part there, a car here, a truck there, and it eventually catches up to you. And as I just told my management team this morning, I hope we hit bottom this month and we start rebuilding from here. But I may have said that for the last couple of months, you know, then meetings go.
Well, you hope at some point that the normal returns, no doubt about it. And actually, you two were early on in this saying, you know what, this at some point we're going to have a awakening of just how much we take things for granted. And in the average, set of eyeglasses, lenses, everything else, how much, not Maui Jim, because obviously smart move. They designed it in Maui, literally, and then said, let's go get American-made ingenuity to build it, build these eyeglasses in Illinois. But how much overall in the industry do you rely on from overseas?
A tremendous amount. And so initially when COVID kind of struck back in March, the largest manufacturer of eyewear on the planet purchased the vast majority of available optical grade acetate or plastic to be able to continue manufacturing. And so that sustained their supply chain until about the end of the year. But where we see more significant delays now is on product that is made in Europe, specifically France and Italy. So we're seeing price increases even on brands like Ray-Ban, brands like Oakley that, I mean, these are the most sought after sunglass brands in the planet. Price increases in the range of 4% that are sent to us. All the way up to 20% for some of the luxury product. I was really surprised. Some of the Tom Ford product that we just received recently was considerably higher than what we had paid before. And so part of it is manufacturers are trying to transition to less new releases a year so that they can meet the forecasts a little bit more efficiently, I think, in the midterm, the next 3 or so years. But I think where we really see the delays in our industry, it's in shortages in raw materials. So an example of that would be Oakley does a photochromic lens, and the activator that will change it from clear to dark, that's currently in production delay. So the company, Oakley, is at a loss at the moment until probably the end of this year. And then secondly, it's a labor shortage. And so there's this, the other shortage in supply chain is labor. And we saw it in our lab. We were using a lab in Portland for a long time, and we had to switch it over to a lab in Minnesota, same company, but it's just labor is also a very big issue coming out of COVID.
All right, we'll take a break, continue our conversation. I want to talk about labor, too, because that's a huge issue here. And there's also opportunity in every crisis, right? And maybe it's time to rethink a little bit of these supply chains and get us all on that America First bandwagon. We'll talk more about it. Steve Zahn from Buttlich, Ashley Freeborn from Aspire Optical, and Mitch Webker from Hot Spring Spas. A little bit of breaking news here that's happened just in the last dozen hours or so. One of the largest meat suppliers in the country was hit on Sunday by a cyber attack that impacted operations. With the attack coming, of course, just weeks after we know Russia, some bad actor in Russia went after the Colonial Pipeline, forced it to shut down, and got a payoff. The meat-producing group JBS USA said in a statement that it was the target of an organized cyber attack that affected servers in North America and Australia. Authorities have been notified. They have an incident response form responding to the attack, stressing, however, the backup servers were not attacked. The company is not aware of any evidence at this time the customer, supplier, or employee data had been compromised or misused. Resolution of the incident will take time, which may delay certain transactions with customers and supplies. A few of your comments about that. Beef Packer JBS has had a cyber attack. It shut down a plant in Australia, rocking the fat cattle market. What's next, says a texter. That's, by the way, different than the official statement that we got. Another says, well, now we have another hack on JBS Packing Company. Anyone see a correlation between letting China be involved with cybersecurity? Hang on to your hat, folks. Beef is going to go nuts on the shelf. Ranchers are going to take it again. Something to be worried about. We saw it with gas. Price of gas, Eastern Seaboard, skyrocketed. I see a pattern. You can't ignore cyber attacks on elections and say it's a bad thing when it gets the pipeline or beef packing company. Just saying. Back to our roundtable here. We have three great experts for you talking about something that really has become incredible conversation. Probably heard a little bit about it at the Barbecue Fest or your opportunity to gather with others on Memorial Weekend and remember those who died serving this country. Everybody's talking about it. There's a labor shortage as part of this as well, a supply chain disruption, because when you buy a new Chevy truck, it has microchips from China. Every vehicle does. And microchips are made with rare earth minerals. And China has an incredible grip on the rare earth mineral market. Well, guess what? There's rare earth minerals in lignite. We have it here in North Dakota. So might this be an opportunity? Might we wake up and say, wait a minute, just like you heard Steve say earlier, Ford, Chevy exploring. I mean, how often do Chevy and Ford compete? Right? I mean, they compete all the time. And in this case, they're laying their swords down saying, hey, we're in this together. We better get something with the supply chain figured out here. Now, the Trail Boss still beats the Raptor every day, so Chevy's still dominating, I think Steve would tell you. And I can prove that myself because I'm driving a beautiful Trail Boss Silverado from Buttlich. But in some ways, they're actually kind of saying, let's do this together. They saw an opportunity here to improve the supply chain. And you hear from Ashley how somebody's doing it better from Maui Jims. Now, if I have a choice between glasses, guess where I'm going to get them. Vince, let's talk about your business and your suppliers and what you saw in the way of opportunity here, because I think at any pain point, our advertisers, every one of them are coming in, whether they sell lawnmowers, flooring, everything. Our reps come back and say, holy buckets, these people can't get anything. They're having a heck of a time hiring people because of all the COVID disruption, and now they can't get their products. And every single time I go, where is the opportunity in that? Where is the opportunity? But I'm just a radio guy. You guys are selling the actual goods and having to get those supplies. Our microphones don't come from China. We just talk, so we don't have to worry about that coming from China. What is the opportunity? And a question for each of you. I'll start with Vince.
Well, as much as I dislike 2020 and all its obstacles and interruptions in our daily life, the opportunity for us was tremendous because we're in the wellness business. And in 2020, the consumer connected the dots between the backyard, a hot tub or a sauna, and wellness. and that demand skyrocketed. So the opportunity, you know, 2020 is probably the greatest year ever for us, and continues to be into this year. And the consumer, for the most part, I mean, they get the obstacles that are in front of us and from our suppliers. And, you know, I think they've learned to, well, first we have to do a good job of saying you need this product. It's every day made better. You're a better person physically, mentally, relationally with this product, and it's worth the wait. And in lies the retraining, you know, of the consumer. Like you said, you can't just come in and say, I'll take that today and we'll deliver it today. There is a wait time. And part of that wait is because of the labor, you know, the COVID restrictions. You can only have so many people in the factory at a time. And, you know, that's coming back too. So, yeah, it's been a great opportunity for us and our business here in North Dakota.
But you had to be a little gutsy in that, Vince. I mean, on the opportunity side, right? You had to, you didn't know what was going to happen. None of us did. I mean, when you're shutting down literally everything in the United States of America, you don't know. But you were going and getting every hot tub, every sauna, every pool you possibly could in anticipation that, look, if we're all hunkered down, what better, you know, in your case, products that, you know, that are more on the wellness side, on the recreation side. You took a bet there, though, didn't you? Pretty big one.
Yep, we did. We ordered, you know, back in last May, June, ordered over 200 saunas, which is unheard of for the summer months. So we are still very inventory rich because of that gamble. We do have more saunas than anybody in the United States. We have more above ground swimming pools, more game room furniture, you know, and I think more hot tubs sold too. They're the. You know, I would have taken all the hot tubs we could get, but there was a new term introduced to us in 2020, and that's called allocation. So we got allocated so many hot tubs based on, you know, our performance in the past business-wise. And I can say that's a good opportunity, too. So we've been very blessed with all the products. And, yeah, I'm sure the other guys here will tell you business is a gamble, and you gotta take chances once in a while, and this one paid off.
I see Steve Zahn from Pucklish nodding when you said allocation. That's a word you're dealing with always, really, in the car business, right? Because there's always, you know, the hot product everybody wants or whatever. But talk about how it's been different in this era, Steve.
Well, I wish I didn't have to worry about allocation. But that's the name of the game in our business. They tell us how many we get, and we call it turn and earn in our world, which is you sell it, you get another one. And the opportunity has been really, you know, I think a lot like Vince just spoke about, the consumers don't have a lot of choices right now either. If they need a vehicle and or are interested in upgrading their current transportation, they haven't got a lot of choices to go anywhere and look around for it. You know, we've all kind of got what we have, and we've you know, thank goodness we got good dealer trade partners that we can work with, and so I think the urgency to buy has been better for us since last year, and I would agree with comments made earlier. You know, 2020 was with all of its challenges and all of its fun moments, we really came out of it with a pretty decent year overall, and it continues into 21. If we get our supply chain issues fixed, I think 21 will be the potential to be a record year. People have got seem to have more money than they've had in a long time, and are willing to spend it. And I think that you know, like you mentioned allocation. Well, last month we sold about 75 new. We were in GM gave us about 50, so we went backwards 25. But that's kind of our business. Again, we're just trying to continue to grow volume so we can get that inventory rebuilt for the future. But I think overall it's taught us to be a lot better, a lot more efficient, and a lot more lean in the way we do business and the way we work with our customers. And you know, they've been tremendously patient through this whole thing. And when you order a certain, you know, we have models that take 6 to 8 months to get right now, and that's with a lot of hope. So we can't thank our customers enough because they've been patient as well. It's those that have an instant need where they maybe had an accident, totaled out a vehicle, or had one break down that just couldn't replace, and that we worked the hardest with and trying to get them keep them rolling down the highway.
Well, as a Silverado Trail Boss owner, it's worth the wait. I'll just give my little public service announcement for the consumers out there. Ashley, let me ask you, what opportunity have you seen and realized in this?
Well, I think one of the big COVID takeaways, and this is, it's across the board. I think it's about being more proactive than reactive, and it's every industry. And when we, you know, when we're talking microchips, it's vehicles, it's phones. You can't get a PlayStation 5 right now, right? People are paying like $1,200 to get a PlayStation 5. And I think it's about identifying just overall in every industry where the vulnerabilities are in the supply chain. And I think the government definitely has a role to play in that. You know, and in the microchip scenario, 80% of the world's microchips are produced in Taiwan, and China calls Taiwan theirs. And I just think, you think whether it's a weather event, whether it's a COVID event, which Taiwan is about to have a surge, or whether it's a military event, which is very possible with that relationship between Taiwan and China, it could severely disrupt our way of life, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's military, whether it's in eye care. And I think it's about recognizing where these opportunities are as entrepreneurs, as government officials, and figuring out how to best prepare ourselves for the next incident where we do, or where it's going to affect our supply chain, it's going to affect pricing across the board.
Here in my mind is the big opportunity for the United States of America. Return to a Donald Trump-like America First policy, to recognize at every point where we are reliable on our consumer goods or our national defense or cybersecurity pipelines, beef packing plants, we've got to have that protection built in place. And I think that's the wake-up call. That's the opportunity for all of us. More of our conversation with these gentlemen when we come back. A texter wants to know about Donald Trump's trade agreements and if they had a positive or negative effect. We'll ask the group that and also talk a little bit about their labor needs. We're with Steve Zahn, General Manager of Puck, as well as Ashley Freeborn from Aspire Optical. You'll note I've switched eyewear. And Vince Webker from Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables, too. Vince, I'm going to throw the trade question to you. A listener said, ask one of your panel guests if any of the shortages have to do with Donald Trump's trade agreements with other countries or trade arrangements. You put any of this on Trump or COVID, or what do you put it on?
Well, COVID, definitely, because like all our products are made in the U.S. Yes, there's pieces, you know, here and there that probably come from China. But the real delay was, let's take California. You know, their governor shut down the factory. Their strict COVID protocol in California still hasn't come back. But our manufacturer, you know, has done a good job of Hot Springs, has done a good job of with the labor they do have, and getting product made and getting it out to us. And, you know, they've had trouble with vendors too, supply chain, as we've all talked about. But, it's not at all on Trump. It's, you know, it's definitely a COVID related, you know, bump in the road.
All right. Let me ask each of you. I'm going to start, Steve, with you, and then go to Ashley and Vince, related to labor. First of all, it's a good gig working at a car dealership. I'm just going to say you treat your people well. I see how you know, many you've had yourself a good example the years you spent in this business. So these are not like you know, burger flipper kind of jobs. These are great jobs, great careers, parts guys, service guys. As well as salesmen. Is it hard still in that environment when you've got a cherry job getting employees right now, Steve? I'm not hearing Steve, Chris. Just hang on one sec, Steve. We'll get you in here.
It was on my end, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, labor continues to be a big issue for us in both of our stores. And really at every level of labor that we need, from entry level to highly skilled. The demand is fairly high again, and at the same time, we are running into the, well, I don't need to work right now, so I'm just not going to. And that's kind of, we're hoping it's better this month now with Governor Burgum's latest order to get out of the national unemployment program. So we just said, it's like everything else in the last 18 months and really our in business in general, you just continue to find creative ways to accomplish what you need to get to your objectives in it. You know, from a labor standpoint, we've worked hard on how we promote our labor, but the I think our how we're liked out in the community is a big deal, and that helps us a lot when we go to look for labor. But there's just a tremendous amount of competition right now, whether it be the current unemployment level of funding or the demand for workforce is again, through the roof. So,
kudos, by the way, to our state leaders, Governor Burgum, Lieutenant Governor Sanford, and others who pushed to say enough already with this. It's time to be done paying bonuses, which they were literally doing, and extending a normal 12 to 26-week state benefit to 53 weeks. I mean, they add the 53 weeks on. You can't make it up. Ashley and Vince, quick on this. I want to give each a chance to give a little plug before we go, but how about labor hiring at Aspire Optical, Ashley? Challenges?
It's very difficult. Optician work is very niche. It's almost like an apprenticeship, so it's very hard to find. So if you're an optician out there and you are looking to change places or you just moved to town, please call us. That would be great. It's very difficult. I mean, it doesn't matter what street you seem to drive down in Fargo right now. It's now hiring, now hiring, now hiring. Every single business has a sign out, $500 bonus for coming on. It's pervasive in this state. And you look at the new Amazon facility that's coming to town, and you're like, we need people to come here. We need some sort of local government and state government to start attracting people to this state, to this city, to be able to fill the need.
We do. We need to get purposeful about it because it's a great place to live and work. Vince, I'm going to give you the last word here. You're going to run out of kids at some point here. You got Maddie, you got Josh, you got Lexi working there. How are you doing on the hiring?
Well, it's always been a challenge in North Dakota, but you just kind of put the blinders on and you make up your mind you're going to go get good people and you get them and then you try to keep them and, you know, with a good atmosphere and work atmosphere. But, yeah, so it's if you're looking for a career in the wellness world, come visit us.
There you go. And by the way, I know this because I own the products from all three of these individuals, quality people, great companies, fantastic products, hot spring spas and pool tables too, Aspire Optical, and Pucklett Chevrolet, North Dakota's home for Chevy. Thanks, guys. Great job. It's the world we live in, folks.